It's often said that the most frequent command in all the scriptures is, don't be afraid. That it even occurs exactly 365 times, once for every day of the year. I haven't done the counting myself, but I'll have to take their word for it. Don't be afraid. Our focus over these last several weeks has been on Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, as they're found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And this morning I want to talk about four practices for these anxious times. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, Jesus tells us, don't worry. Don't worry about your life, about what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. He repeats the commandment three times, actually. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. It's the only time that Jesus repeats a command in the whole Sermon on the Mount. He spends more time talking about worry than he does about anger or lust or loving your enemies. Apparently, this is important. And in a sermon full of difficult commands, I think for some of us this might be the hardest. Scott McKnight, one of my former teachers, explains that anxiety is a barometer of one's God. It reveals on whom or on what we depend. On ourselves? On our bank accounts or our possessions? Or on a God who cares and provides? Don't worry. As I've spent time with this passage this week, I've been trying to lean into four practices inspired by this text. Four practices for these anxious times. These practices are look outside, lean on God, seek the kingdom, and take it one day at a time. First of all, look outside. This is Jesus' first invitation to his disciples as he counsels them about worry. Look at the birds of the air, he says. Consider the flowers of the field. The lesson is about God's sustaining care for all of life. If God so clothes the grass of the field, how much more will he provide for me? If his eye is on the sparrow, then how much more do I know that he's always watching me? There's something healing or grounding about being outdoors or even just looking out a window, especially now with the arrival of spring. We see the birds returning. We hear the sounds of the cranes in the air and in the fields. We see the buds on the trees and flowers beginning to emerge from the soil. It's hard to quantify or to put into words, but the world is alive with the presence of God. And I want to encourage us to be present to that as much as we can. I've been trying to spend more time outside myself, and I've noticed that as our main streets have emptied this week, the parking lots of our hiking trails have filled. And I guess I've taken some encouragement in that. For many of us, now is a good time to stop and listen, and as Scott McKnight says, to see the hand of God at work in the world that he's created. And from that to learn that God is a loving Father who cares for us. So look outside. Go for a walk. Breathe deeply of the spring air. Take up bird watching or get your hands dirty in the soil. Make time to experience the goodness of God's creation. That's the first practice. The second is lean on God. Jesus' teaching about worry ultimately comes down to the character of God. Followers of Jesus need not worry because God is a loving Father who cares for us and on whom we can depend. In verse 32, Jesus contrasts the attitude of the disciple with that of the Gentiles or the pagans who have no such hope. As Christians, we have a faithful God to turn to in times of distress. And that makes all the difference. And so now, more than ever, I believe is a time to be faithful in prayer. Jesus talks about this just a few verses into chapter 7, where he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." For everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. Again, this text is about God's goodness. God is a God who responds to the prayers of his people and longs to give good gifts to his children. Paul may be referring to this teaching of Jesus when he writes to the Philippians, "Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul had good reason to be anxious when he penned those words. Confined to a prison cell, uncertain even whether he would live or die. And yet, Philippians is his most joy-filled letter. A few verses later, he would write, "I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." He says, "I can do all this through God who gives me strength." Paul learned to lean on God in every situation. And as we commit to leaning on God during this season, we may find that this is a good time to become reacquainted with the Psalms. The Psalms are really unique in the Bible because the Bible is God's word to us. But the Psalms are also given to us in order to be our words back to God. These scriptural prayers express, among other things, trust in God in the midst of distress. They are a school of prayer that help us learn to lean on God. I've turned this week to Psalms 23 and 27, Psalms 4 and 46, Psalms 55 and 125. And I'd love to hear from you this week. What psalms or scriptures are helping you lean on God? So, look outside, lean on God. And the third practice this morning is seek the kingdom. In verse 33, Jesus tells us, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well." For Jesus' disciples, worry and anxiety threatened to take their focus off of what God was doing and how they could be a part of that. So the third practice that I want to recommend to us is seek the kingdom. Pay attention to what God is doing in you and around you and through you. Those of you who've been part of one of our Grow groups are familiar with these three questions. How is God working in your life through this? What is he growing or challenging or rooting out in you? How is he working in your family or in those whom you are close to? How is he calling you to be present to them during this season? How does God want to use you right now to care for others? In a video message yesterday, our conference superintendent, Pastor Danny Martinez, called on us to continue to be the church, to reach out to one another through calls and acts of service, especially to the most vulnerable among us, and to continue to be generous and giving. Remember, the kingdom of God is made up of small acts that can have a tremendous impact. Jesus describes the kingdom of God as a mustard seed. Though it is the smallest of seeds, he says, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. How are you seeking the kingdom today? It may be in your work or in caring for your family. It may be in picking up the phone and reaching out to check on a friend or a neighbor. It may be in ways that you can safely volunteer to help those in need. Seek the kingdom. And finally, take it one day at a time. In the final verse of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." One thing that I found over the past week is just how overwhelming it can be to take in all the information about this crisis, from the news reports to the updates from government officials to predictions about what the coming weeks and months may hold. And I found that one of the most important practices for me has been to stay grounded in the present. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I can be present to where I am right now and to what God has for me today. I just finished an excellent book by Emily Freeman called The Next Right Thing. And in it, she shares the wisdom of one of her spiritual teachers that so much of the spiritual life, so much of following Jesus is just about what we do in the next 10 minutes. Just do the next right thing. When I'm feeling overwhelmed or anxious about what the future holds, just do the next right thing. When I'm getting ahead of myself, just do the next right thing. When I wonder how long this season is going to last, just do the next right thing. It doesn't mean I'm not making any plans, but it does mean that I won't allow worry about the future to overwhelm the gift and the challenge of today. And so I encourage you to take it one day at a time and just do the next right thing. I found these four practices to be helpful and life-giving as I've pondered and reflected on Jesus' words this week. Look outside, lean on God, seek the kingdom, and take it one day at a time. May God meet us in these practices, in this unique and challenging time. And may Jesus Christ be praised. Amen. We're going to sing together.